Helga, the continued story has just been published, and Helga Gerarda joins me now in the studio. Helga, why did you continue the story? Why did you decide you'd become a writer full-time?
What happened was that I had a lot of fan mail suddenly. People kept on saying, what happened next? Because my first book finished when I returned to Switzerland. Yeah. So until that moment, I didn't even speak English, according to my readers. So everybody wanted to know what happened. So I thought, well, I must tell my story about Switzerland at least. But because I had a handicapped son, I felt it was important to show people that if you want to do something for a handicapped child, you can if you are determined enough, because there are always people to be found, even in authority, who will eventually help you if you push enough and bully them enough, so to speak. And I was able to do that, so I thought I'd write about it.
Well, we'll talk about that bit because it comes a little way into the book. You start off by, if people have missed the first book, they don't need to worry because you actually sort of pre-see it in the first part.
Yes, I made a short synopsis of my first book and I added one or two things which I couldn't put down in the first book, otherwise it would have been too long. The editor took it out, so we edited it.
Back in.
Yes.
Yes. Now, what quite surprised me was that when you went back to Switzerland, you were not made too welcome, were you not?
No, we were called Rückwanderer, that means returning emigrants. The trouble was, although I spoke German, I didn't speak Swiss German. So the moment you started to speak in the shops, everybody knew, this is somebody who's come back from Germany, you see. And somehow, I wouldn't say it was a stigma, but they knew we had no money and we were short of everything. But I must say the government did help us to start again. I was able to do 6 months course, commercial training, and even the rest of my family were helped. My sister went into the laboratory, brother went in the army because he was army age. So of course in Switzerland you have to go into the army when you're 18. Yeah. And even my elder sister, with her baby, was helped.
You'd wanted to do medicine, though, hadn't you? You didn't want to become a secretary.
No, I didn't want to become a secretary, but that was the only thing of which I resented. They would not pay for further studies for me. It would have been too expensive, and they pointed out if they do it for me, they have to do it for others too, and they didn't have that type of money. So I became a secretary.
Looking back on your life, do you regret that? Because in a way, it meant you meant your husband, didn't it? If you'd done the medicine, you'd never have met your husband.
No, maybe I would have met somebody else.
What a dreadful thing to say, sitting back there. You shouldn't say anything like that. But you do regret it, not having done the medicine over the years?
Anymore now, I think. And the beginning, having done the beginning of it, like I mentioned before, having had a handicapped child, it did help me quite a bit. I could read medical books and understand them better. Also, realised what I had to do.
But that was when you came to England?
Oh, yes.
You met Bob first?
I met
Bob. Sort of across the room kind of thing, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I was a secretary in a small hotel in Hergesville near Lucerne. And it's quite a romantic story, and I don't know whether I ought to tell you
no,
that.
People
ought
read
to read
the book. It's lovely.
Quite right.
But you did decide to come to England, not realising this man had made up his mind, come what may, whether you liked it or not, you were going to be his wife.
I think he fell in love with me straight away because he went home and he told his parents, I met a girl in Switzerland I'm going to get married to. He hadn't told me yet.
No.
But I came over as an au pair girl and worked in a children's home not very far from where my future husband then lived.
But Bob helped you come over and found and took you to
Yes, he assessed the children's home because the matron had offered me a job, but I felt being a foreign country, new language, it would be rather nice if somebody had vetted the place, and
yes,
he agreed it was very nice, and that's why I came.
It was tough there, wasn't it? It wasn't easy with these children.
Well, there were 35 children, and I had to cope with them, but I did get time off after I've taken them to school. I think in the evening they always had to have a bath, every child had to have a bath, and there were only two of us, and to get through 35 by the time you straighten up, your back hurts.
Yes, your back caused you problems later, but that was more to do with your son, because eventually you got married, you had this child who was a cerebral palsy.
Yes, my eldest son had cerebral palsy, and when he was 18 months old, they decided he really ought to go into a home, because he would never talk or walk. But I could see that there was quite a bit of intelligence left in him, and I didn't accept it. I said, no, my child will not go into a home. I started to search whether I could find somebody to help me. It's all right to say, just be kind to him and feed him and see whether you can get him clean. And I did find a physiotherapist, her name was Mrs. Collins, in Queen Mary's Hospital, Carshalton, she called it a spastic unit, but today they don't like it to be called spastic anymore. So let's call it a cerebral palsy unit. And she examined Victor, and she said he had enough intelligence to learn to walk. Her general idea was...
You've been told he wouldn't walk or talk, hadn't you?
That's right.
But this woman said no.
No, she had been to America and learned a method of how to train these children. She said the part of the brain that controls Victor's legs has been damaged, and we can try and let the rest of the brain take over movements he has to do with his legs so that he will learn to walk. And this is what I had to do.
I did.
For years. Every day I had to strip him naked, and I had to move his foot, legs. At first I had to ask him to repeat it, and of course, being only 3 years old, he just laughed and thought it was a bit of fun of me moving his legs up and down. But the day came, and when I was very touched, when he suddenly moved a leg. And he just said, I've done it. So he must have understood what I said to him, wanting to move his legs. And when he was 7 years old, Mrs. Collis took him into her unit. She said, I want to do special training with him, you know, with physiotherapy. Well, Victor didn't like it. He'd never been parted from me, and he cried quite a bit, but he settled down. After 6 weeks, she asked my husband and me to come up and see her. Well, we did, and we had to wait in the physiotherapy room, which was most unusual. It was usually in a waiting room. And suddenly, the door opened on the other side, and Mrs. Collis walked in with Victor. He stumbled quite a bit, but was on his legs. I'd never seen him before walking. And that was the beginning.
It's a long story, and we could spend hours talking about it, but the thing to do is to read the book. There's a lot more than we talked about, because we should say Victor succeeded enormously and is now a computer specialist, is he not?
Yes. Yes.
It's just a wonderful story of success. Your whole life has been against the odds, fighting back and getting success. And I'm absolutely sure this story will be successful too. Good luck with it. I'm sure it's going to sell well. It's called Helga, the Continuing Story, and it's, of course, by Helga Gerardi. And Verona is a publisher. It's £7.99. Thank you very much for talking about it, Helga.
Thank you.
And I'm sure people will be now very tempted indeed to read it. Thanks a lot.